phone.
Or is it a stain?
Yes.
Of my
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Wednesday, as usual, when we do this broadcast, and it is the 15th of November in the year 2006. I know I make a big deal. Every time I do that date, I make a big deal of it, or act like I do, but my God, the way time is flying is unreal, it seems to me. In fact, you know, they say, well, the older that you get, the faster time goes. Talk to young people, folks, and they experience the same thing. And, let me do this. Let me do our spiritual message. I have two for you tonight, once again. And then we're going to talk about that just a little bit, because it's an intriguing thought, possibility, consideration. Mm-hmm. This is from I'm writing here. This is from the text from the Course in Miracles. I have done this a jillion times, and it's a reminder every time I do it that this isn't just for you, you know, folks, because these messages, when they hit home to me, I say, oh, I must share this with our listeners. And this one is one that we should always remind ourselves of. The Holy Spirit will of himself fill every mind that so makes room for him. That is a very, 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 very important thought, consideration to keep in mind. The Holy Spirit will fill every mind that so makes room for him. And the other one here is from the text. This is page 153. There are many answers you have received but have not yet heard. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
And folks, our guest this evening again is my dear friend, Julie Klavich.
Hi.
Hi, Julie. Thanks for being here tonight, honey.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Go ahead, honey.
Oh, that falls in line with what I was thinking about talking about.
Well, go.
Making room.
You go, girl.
Remember
making
we were talking...
Making room. Okay.
Yeah, making room. And remember we were talking about energy and emotions
last
time? Well, once you become aware of how you're being used, how your energy and emotions are being used, what I started doing is, as I was growing in my own self, I started creating little mind tools to help me clear my emotions,
okay,
and so that I could take an objective look at myself. And it came upon me because I was watching near-death experiences, and you know they say that when you pass away you get a life review.
Mm-hmm.
And then it occurred to me, well, why don't I do a life review every day?
Oh,
you see,
really? Yeah.
Yeah, and what I started doing is every night I would go to bed, I'd lay down and get real quiet and then review my day.
Mm.
And it, as you do that, you start becoming aware of your interaction and how your emotions are interacting with other people, and how you're being usurped of your emotions, and
or how we are relinquishing.
Absolutely.
Okay, because there is a difference there, isn't there? You know,
uh-huh.
I've heard so many times people say, oh, well, the federal government has usurped the powers from the states. No, they didn't. The usurpee has to acquiesce.
Yes.
We have to allow it to happen before something can be usurped. Do you think?
Absolutely. And it but when you become aware of it on a personal level, then it expands and you get to see what's happening on another level, with, like what you just said, with how we're being usurped of our own power. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
Well, and you also become more temperate in your emotional energy. You know, you become more temperate with your anger.
Uh-huh.
And then when you were saying about making room, see, because you have to do an inner house cleaning of yourself. If you start doing that every day, then you're not so clogged up and you can receive the higher thoughts. You see,
because I
think we get clogged up throughout the day with other people's, I want to say stuff, or even our own personal stuff. But if we clear every day, it gets a little easier to understand what's going on in your own mind, and you start to know yourself a little better. It's just a simple tool. I just call it a life review.
Call it what, honey?
A life review.
A life review.
Yeah, you do it once a day. And then you just keep going with it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And do you still do that every night?
Well, I don't do it every night because as you grow, you become more aware and that you don't have to...
Immediately?
Yeah, immediately.
Okay,
it comes
thank
to,
you.
Yeah, that's it. You become immediately aware of what's happening right in that moment.
Uh-huh.
But first you... It's almost like you're training your own mind to see it as you go and start looking at your own self and how you interact with other people. And be gentle on yourself too. That's another thing. Don't beat yourself with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all, you know, fall every once in a while into the anger and we get stuck in things. But
be gentle on yourself.
Yeah, you be gentle.
My sis told me.
Yeah.
Very recently.
Oh, wow.
That I am very hard on myself.
Yeah.
And I heard what she said, and maybe that is so.
Yeah.
Maybe it is so, and I need to be more aware of it. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, yes, when you talk about doing that review, we have to want to be able to see ourselves, Julie.
Yes.
And when we really truly do want it, we begin to see ourselves, and then we get a chance, like you said, to examine. And I can remember, I won't use the example personally, but it was a personal thing. But I was having this really petty thoughts.
Oh, no.
And I was so irritated, and I thought, God, this is petty.
Uh-huh.
What is wrong with you, Jackie? This is so petty.
Right.
And so I thought, okay, then why am I feeling this way? And because once you can grab that and see it, then you can really begin to examine it. Why am I feeling this way?
Right.
And sometimes, I mean, just because we see that doesn't always help, but I think the more that we are aware of it, the more you said the word temperate.
Yeah, you become temperate with your.
Mm-hmm.
You don't so easily give in to the manipulations of other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, or what's
or maybe when we're aware of the manipulation, not responding so intensely.
Well, just like you said, sometimes it's better to do nothing.
Uh-huh.
You know? You have to decide.
Did I say that?
Yes. Remember we were...
Did I say that?
You taught me that. Daggone it. Yeah. Yeah. Because sometimes you get in a situation where you just don't know what to do. And remember we were talking and you said sometimes when you don't know what to do, you do nothing.
Oh, yeah. But that's really not sometimes. And we weren't talking just about...
Not this, just this.
Right,
yeah.
But that has gotten to be the only... how can I explain? The only time I am comfortable with the decision is if it is within me, it is feels so right that there's not a question.
Right.
And when even sometimes big decisions to make, like after Chuck passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm up here, you know, in beautiful God's country, and it's really wide open rural spaces. And Nicole said, "Mom, you got to come back, so we can be close to you, and we want to be there for you if you need us. And I know you have friends, but you need to be with your family." And everything she said to me made absolutely all the sense in the world. And I told her that. I said, "Everything you're saying," but I said, "Nicole, honey, I'm not doing anything until I know that it's what I'm supposed to do." And I'm still here, by the way, Julie, almost 4 years later,
yeah,
honey. But and even though I've questioned sometimes, and I'll say, "Father, I wish I knew."
Mm-hmm.
I love it here, but it isn't the same without Chuck. And yet I stay, and it's because it was time for me to move. I knew it was time for me to move,
mm-hmm.
and I knew I was going east. And then Chuck came into my life, and here he was, you know, a Philly boy, but ready to make a move
mm-hmm.
out of the city. And it all just happened, and there was never a blink or a backward glance.
Just fell into place.
It was there. I was brought here, and I'm very clear on that. And here I still am, because when I thought about putting the place up for sale and leaving, nothing comes, Julie.
Wow.
And I'm not going to sit around and say, "Okay, let me see. I could do this." I can't work that way.
Right.
Because it's all us. It is being in the way. The way I see it, it's being in the way of allowing that guidance from within to guide us.
Right. Through the knowing, then when the knowing kicks in, then everything falls into
place.
There
is not a question.
Yeah. I like it when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
I hate the middle ground.
Yeah.
The middle ground causes some...
Well, you know, that came from A Course in Miracles. Actually, it was a weekend overview that I was at, and there was a guy there, a man and a woman, explaining their understanding of, you know, because A Course in Miracles has a language of its own that is not, and by the way, I want to say this, I think I did say it before, but one of our listeners in California had just recently started tuning in. And wrote to me and said how lovely it was, you know, to hear me and et cetera, et cetera. And she mentioned A Course in Miracles. And she said that it has been, as far as she can see, revised. So if people don't have, today, if they don't have those original books, I have no idea what changes were made. But we were at this overview weekend, and Paul was explaining, you know, the listening process. And it's something we really have to think about. What does it mean, listen? Because it isn't like you hear voices. It would be really nice if you heard, "Okay, Jack,
do this
tomorrow." Yes, exactly.
Go this way.
Yes, but that isn't necessarily, but I call them the niggles. That's just on one aspect of this. When, with, let's say, an individual, and something just isn't feeling right. It's just not right. But you can't put your finger on it.
Right.
Well, that's coming from within us. That's intuition. And maybe that we could call what we're talking about intuition, you know, the Holy Spirit, the guidance from within us.
You see
what I'm saying? But the listening, Julie, to really listen. And when you ask, sometimes I'll just say, you know, "Please, HS, I need some help here. I don't know what to do." And I do nothing. And the next thing you know, a fantastic thought will pop in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go, "Oh, yes. Oh, thank you. I could have never thought of that."
Right.
But it's because I let it go. I didn't sit and mull it over.
Mm-hmm.
And that got to be my little buzzword. If I found myself mulling over a situation, then I would just say, "Jackie, don't mull it over. Turn it over."
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah, and this is exactly what Paul was telling us, and he was giving us some examples. He said that the answer will always come in time, in the right time. You don't have to worry about, "Oh, my God, you know, how am I going to do this, and hurry up, I need an answer here."
Mm-hmm.
You let it go, and you let it flow, and the next thing you know, it's there. And he was talking about that they had been asked to go to Buffalo, New York, to do a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't sure, are we supposed to go or not? So, you know, they asked the Holy Spirit to, please, we need to know. And if we're not listening, please, you know, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And he said time kept passing and passing, and they were in New York City. And he said, they're driving down the street one day. He said at the end of the street was a T. You had, you know, it was like buildings and stuff. And so you had to turn left or right. It was one of those T-turns. But anyway, they were talking and said, we're going to have to make a decision here because we got to let those people know. And how are we supposed to know what to do? And he said, suddenly they looked up, and there was a Goodyear blimp. And it said, go Buffalo on it. It was regarding a football game or something.
Yeah.
But he said, there it was, go Buffalo on the Goodyear blimp. He said, okay, thanks, HS.
Isn't that wild?
We'll go to New York, yes.
Wow, I love it.
Excuse me, honey.
So do you think that it would be safe to say that we are our own inner guides?
I would say our higher self.
Yeah, that we don't need to go to someone else. That help arrives through other people, but we don't have to step outside of ourselves to go to someone else. Like a guru or...
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. Oh, absolutely.
That once we begin to know that knowing, we become our own inner guide.
However, Julie, I think each of us, you know, have our own experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a guru, per
yeah,
se.
Yeah, neither have I.
But I remember I was in my 20s when I read my first book on metaphysics, and there so many, like, light bulbs exploding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my God, yes, this explains everything. And I did a lot of reading, and there's information, and I'm not saying everything I read was true,
mm-hmm.
but it opens you, and it I believe sometimes that it will, sometimes our memory, if you would.
Oh, okay.
That because we come into this life without memory of past, without conscious memory
okay.
of past. And sometimes some people have that already innate. We all have it, but some people have it more developed where they don't need a book. They don't need somebody to say it. They just, quote, know it.
Okay.
And I knew that there was a lot of things I knew, but mostly what I knew is that what I was getting from, quote, church was not truth. But I knew there was truth, but I didn't know what truth was, what the truth was. Mm-hmm. And I also spent 2.5, nearly 3 years at the School of Metaphysics. It was a wonderful, wonderful, opening, growing time for me. That without it, many of the experiences that I've had where, you know, and we do know this, that there is a total difference between believing and knowing.
Right.
And we can only know by experience. And I know that there are many experiences that I've had that have brought me to the point where I am right now, not like, okay, now I've got it,
right.
but to the point I am right now, there are things I know. And I know them because of my experiences, and it really did help.
Right.
It really did help. So I wouldn't
say that it's completely that.
Right, across the board that...
Because we share with each other.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
It's the sharing, I think.
Look how many times you and I have talked, and you've said something, and I...
Eureka.
And I go, Julie, oh, my God, thank you.
But you've done the same thing
yes.
for me. That's what's so beautiful about it all.
Uh-huh.
Is when you share back and forth with each other. Like, I don't have it in my mind that I know more than Jackie, so I need to teach Jackie.
We
I
all
don't think you, that way.
Right, we
I,
all
I,
have
I,
it.
Yeah, we all, each and every one of us has something to share.
And each and every one of us has all of the wisdom and knowledge of the universe within us.
Yes.
So it's just the remembering part of it.
Yes.
Bringing it to our conscious memory.
Yes.
And that's where the sharing comes in, huh?
Right, yeah. And actually, and knowing that, you know, that it's like we ignite things in each other as we go. I've had a lot of people do that in my life. I don't know if you've talked to Stacy, but she helped me.
I have not talked to Stacy yet. Well, Julie, I have been so busy here, honey.
Cleaning. That's good, though.
It is unbelievable.
But don't you feel good, though?
Are you kidding me?
I
feel like I'm in a dream. This is the home that Chuck and I moved into here, and of course when he was here, it was so different, but when it's all you doing everything, whatever you're doing, one thing, 100 other things that need to be done aren't getting done. But it is, you know how things pile up?
Yeah.
Like in my studio has actually become a part of my home now, and it is beautiful, it is clean. And I still have two places that I haven't got to yet. But and then I thought, oh, my God, I was getting rid of so much stuff. I called a guy to see if he, you know, an ad in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, yeah. He said he's got this big old truck and he can haul anything I want away. And he said it'll carry like 6.5 truckloads full, you know, pickup trucks.
That's a lot of stuff.
I said to my sis, hey, I'm not going to pay him that kind of money just for this. I got a lot of stuff down the basement that should go. And I started down the basement, then I started in the garage, and the other day I was up in the attic. It's been marvelous, honey.
Oh.
And then one of Donnie's friends said, I'll do it for you for the same price. And he didn't have as big a truck, but he'll take as many loads as I need.
Yeah.
And he's actually been helping me because in the garage, there's stuff in there on shelves. I didn't even know what they were for. He'd say, oh, well, you want to keep this. This is da-da-da. Or, no,
yeah.
You know. And I'm giving things away that someone else can use that I know I never will. But it's been wonderful. And remember when you said, because I said, I feel that I've got healing going on.
Wow.
And you said the healing, a lot of times, it begins externally.
Yeah.
Well, it's happening, Julie.
Wow.
It's been wonderful. So getting back to... I'm telling you the excuse why I didn't do something, and I don't know what it was.
Oh, my God, that's all right. Well, that's okay. We were talking... Oh, cleaning. You're doing an inner cleaning while you're doing that.
Yeah, but I know you said something. Did I do this or that? Something, and I said no, and then I started talking about why I didn't. Why I didn't. I'm sorry. I do that too. Take us off on a cul-de-sac, but it has been wonderful. My sister's here, and I can tell you this. I would have never tackled what I tackled, what I have been tackling without her. It wouldn't have happened, Julie.
So her presence there has been a blessing.
Oh, in many, many, many ways.
Right.
Yes.
Offer support.
And I believe for both of us. I know for me personally, my benefit of her being here, the blessing that it's been.
You know, yeah. And sometimes you just can't really put it into words.
Yes, I
can. Because it's there's so many things happening all at once.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful, Jackie.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I wanted to say this too when we were talking about, you know, letting it go and asking for direction.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I do know about is just that we do get in the way. That's why I keep reading this one over and over.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit will fill every mind that so makes room for Him.
Right.
And I've asked for signs in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And acknowledging that I know that it's there, the guidance is there, and I'm just not listening. And please, if I'm not listening, give me a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie, I get them. I don't ask. I mean, I don't make a big habit of it, but
right. There
have been some. And I did it a couple of times with the radio broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Please, if I'm supposed to give this up, let me know. Because I don't want to do this if it's my idea. If I'm supposed to be doing it, I will continue.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when, you know, WWCR, our reception was so sabotaged, then I just kept going and going when half of our listeners, most of them, couldn't even hear it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember one time when our airtime bill got really high.
Mm-hmm.
And and Chuck wanted to do a, you know, pledge night, I always just dreaded them, and he'd usually do it for me. But I said, okay, I'll do it, honey. And there weren't a lot of calls coming in. And he was real, real upset. He says, I can't believe this. And I said, Chuck, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. He got real close to me and looked in my eyes. He said, are you okay, honey? I said, do I look okay? But I told him, I said, listen to me. I saw him, you know, lying in bed, and I could see the wheels turning. I said, what are you thinking about? He said, I just can't believe your listeners. I mean, you just give everything, and you... I said, Chuck, listen, please. Mm-hmm. I said, don't you understand, honey, that it's the possibility is that I'm supposed to give this up. And I said, if... I told our listeners, well, I'll be available, you know, the weekend, and if you want to call in a pledge, and if there's enough to keep us going, I'll be able to let you know Monday. And I said, if we don't get the calls, don't you see that that's a sign it's time to give it up?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to do this if it's my idea. And look at all the things I could do if I wasn't doing this one night a week,
yeah.
You know? And I said, so if enough calls don't come in, I'm going to know it. And I'm comfortable with this. I'm fine with it. I said, and then on the other hand, if there were calls and an appreciable amount is called in, I guess that's a sign too that I'm supposed to keep going. Well, at noon the next day, I got a call from a listener in Pennsylvania, and he said, is this Jackie? I said, yes. He says, well, I've been listening to you for 4 years, and I've never sent you a dime. And I just want you to know there's a $2,000 check in the mail.
Wow.
And I went,
ah. See? I guess I'm going to keep doing it.
I said, do I know you? He says, no, but I know you. Mm. And I said, well, I guess you're the angel then.
Oh.
And my message is, this broadcast is going to continue.
Yeah.
So there was the sign that I asked for, honey.
Yeah. I've done that where I said, did I do the right thing? And then I'll get a sign and go, okay. You know, I do it that way. So,
yeah.
It speaks. You just have to be listening, I guess.
There it is. Well, but once again, wouldn't it be nice if we heard the voices?
Yeah.
You know, right out like you got a telephone line, a hotline.
Yeah.
And you could pick up the phone and say, okay, I need some directions here.
I wonder how many I missed when I wasn't aware enough to catch them.
I bet you that you can look back in your life, though, Julie, and think of times when you absolutely knew that what... Now, I'm not saying, oh, I did something bad or something.
Okay.
But something that you're doing, and you get that, and you just keep right on doing it. It's sort of like... Don't bother me, HS. You know, I'm busy here.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know
I'm doing my
is.
Own thing over here.
But then you look back and you
yeah.
say, I should have done it when I thought it. I should have done it.
Right.
Those
and
are
listen.
The times. Yeah, we get it.
Sometimes we don't want to hear it, I know.
And this one guy asked a question. He says, how do we know if we're listening to our own ego going on and on, or if it's the Holy Spirit guiding
you?
And Paul said, well, ego questions, Holy Spirit answers. And here's another thing. I love this. He says, if you do something wrong, you're not going to... If you say, you know, you make a mistake and you go, you nummy nuts, you damn fool, you... He says, that's ego all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that. Because the Holy Spirit will simply say, my son, do it this way.
Right.
And when you think about...
It doesn't beat you. I don't mean to call it it, but Holy Spirit doesn't beat you.
Exactly.
It's gentle and loving.
Yes.
Yeah,
like
that's the difference.
Said, be gentle with yourself.
Yeah.
You said
yeah.
it, Julie.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of people in this world would love to spend their time beating you. You know, why beat on yourself? We're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
I hear it, yes.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to be taking a break here for about 3 minutes.
That's fine.
And, yeah, and folks, we'll be right back with you,
okay.
with Julie and Julie. Yeah. Well, talk.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Around the world and on satellite. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them, if not you?
It's a good thing I went to that.
Are we back?
We're back, yeah.
Okay. Maybe you could talk about that, too?
No.
Okay.
No. Go ahead, honey.
I wanted
to talk about that time thing.
Yeah.
Because I do this, I know, almost every Wednesday. I go,
oh, it's here. I know.
It's November the 15th already.
Uh-huh.
It was just August, Julie.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. And I read, I do not know where I read it, but it literally said that our solar system is moving into sort of like maybe a higher dimension or something.
Oh,
I don't know if it's planet or whole system. And I can't really talk about it because I read this quite a while ago, but I really thought about it. And that our perception of time is speeding up.
Right.
And so is it perception or is time speeding up? Well, what is time anyway? Okay, now there we go. There's a good one. What is time?
Yeah, I know. Is it an illusion? Is it something that keeps us, you know, in a, what do you call it, like a frame?
A frame. Yeah, that was the exact word I had in my mind.
Oh, here we go. This is great. Because I remember thinking it's an illusion. Time is an illusion that keeps our minds in a frame because when you're not focusing on time, something happens to your perception.
I don't focus on time.
Okay, now doesn't it?
I never did though, and it's still speeding up, Julie.
See what I'm
saying?
That's great though. Brian was just talking about that. How it just seems weird that everything is just going faster.
Well, now it's more recently. I don't know where I read this, but that time, like 24 hours today,
mm-hmm.
Is like how would you say this? More like 16 hours. In other words, 16 hours goes by, you still have 8 hours of your day left.
Right.
Okay. But that now, rather than it being like a 24-hour time span, it's going as fast as if it was only a 16-hour.
Huh.
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm saying that exactly, but I believe that there is something going on. I know that there's a lot in the physical realm mm-hmm. that speeds up our... for example, at Thanksgiving time, they start putting Santa Claus out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody.
Oh yeah.
Here we are in the fall, and you're already thinking, "Oh, Christmas is coming." My, Christmas will be here in 2 months. But then, in the winter time, then they start putting the summer clothes out.
Right.
And then in the summertime, they start putting winter clothes out. You know, in the stores and things.
Yeah, and, it's still that, cold and you can't find hats.
Right, exactly. But the whole point is,
yeah.
In a sense, that helps. But I don't go to those stores. I am not a shopper. I don't watch the television. And it's still happening.
Right. Well, something must be happening on maybe an atomic level.
Maybe.
You know, planets, you know, shifting, I don't know.
Or... Is it possible that it is moving into a higher higher
vibration?
Yes, yes.
I don't know. Don't you find it strange though that you know how they do the time saving thing for an hour? I think in a few years they want to do 2 hours.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I think Brian was just telling me about that.
Why?
They're
going to
do it for 2 hours.
You mean, and then it's going to get dark in the winter time?
Yeah.
It's going to be dark
at
3 o'clock?
Yeah, they mess with time. You see?
Uh-huh.
Because he was just saying they were...
Or our concept of time anyway, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. But I do see some good for the time, you know, because then, well, if you got to be at a meeting at 1 o'clock, you know, keep some kind of order. Yeah, somehow.
Oh, you mean living in this physical?
Yeah, living in the physical.
Well, right.
That's a good benefit of it, but...
I've been told all my life I have no concept of time.
Oh, in the same
way. In fact, I was told
way.
When I was a little girl.
Yeah.
Jackie, you are going to be late for your own funeral. I heard that over and over. And my Aunt Dode was one of those people. She's a cool lady, though. We loved Aunt Dode, but she just had no concept of time. And... Mom and Graham used to have a great time talking about Aunt Dode. And then they started saying, "You were cut out of the same quilt as your Aunt Dode." Like it was, there was something wrong with it.
No. You probably don't know what day it is, or like if it's went like you know, the date. Like you could, I do the same thing.
I was sitting there this evening with Sis,
mm-hmm.
and then I said, "Oh my God, today's Wednesday. I have to do the broadcast tonight."
And here I am running around.
So you got a call at 8 o'clock.
I was going, oh, my God. Such short notice.
Oh, yeah, thing. Right. Well, we
I
really,
love you anyway.
We never have notice when we're going to talk together anyway, do we?
No.
But here's something, as you know, when I called you, I said, actually, I was going to call Nicholas and ask him if he would just, play a replay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at the one I was thinking I wanted our listeners to hear again, or if they didn't hear it. And then I thought, you know what I want to talk about tonight? Giants.
Yeah.
And so I said that to you, and you said, "But I don't know anything about giants." Well, you're the one that sent me all this stuff. And not that I have... or you have a lot
research
of knowledge about it.
Yeah, I know.
But, Julie, some of that stuff you sent me, I read quite a bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that impressed me so much, and I didn't do any printouts tonight,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you did, but you know that one that you sent me that had all the different dates and newspapers that it appeared, public papers that it appeared in, where they have found the bones of what they call giants. Now, this isn't talking 12 and 15 foot high, but 7, 8, sometimes 9 foot.
Right.
But everything was larger. And what seemed to be, I guess, a pattern, is, and I think it is not just Ohio, but in the other areas,
right.
they had double sets of teeth.
Oh.
Do you remember reading that?
No.
Yeah, they showed they had some skulls.
Yeah, I even saw some horned ones. Did you see them?
Some what?
Horned. They had skulls with horns of the giants. I'll have to send you.
I don't know. Now, see, I've had some things emailed to me that are supposed to be skulls of, you know, that they
yeah.
dug up. And Julie, when I look at them, I don't disbelieve it and say
I
this
know.
Is all hogwash.
Right.
How in the world do we know if those things that we're looking at are real or if they have been made?
Right.
But the thing that impressed me was this was a whole list with dates, the newspapers that appeared in, where they were digging and they dug up these bones of a giant. And then even in the public records, remember in that one place in Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
They actually was in the public records. And it was signed and it was a notarized affidavit or whatever.
Right.
And one of the reasons, now see, maybe you've got some of the information if you printed any out.
No, I have it here on the computer.
Okay, because you might be willing to share some with our listeners. And folks, the reason I wanted to bring this up tonight, well, I didn't really want... necessarily, it just popped in my head, Julie. So, okay, honey, I wasn't sitting there thinking, okay, what am I going to do?
Uh-huh.
I was literally checking out to see what program I would like Nicholas to do, and this thought popped itself in my
right.
head, and that's why I went with it. But there is a lot that we don't know.
Right.
Because we've been lied to upside down, inside out, and backwards, every which way but loose.
Right.
On history, and to have our listeners keep their minds open.
Right.
Keep your mind open, folks, for possibility, for consideration. Do your own. I mean, do your own searching.
Right.
I know I brought it up on the air one night, just briefly, and then it was kind of poo-pooed, and nah, that's a hoax.
Yeah.
And then I got emails. This one guy sent me an email. He said, I did a lot of research. And he actually sent me some links and et cetera that he had done his own research. I am pretty much convinced.
There's something to it, Jackie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Native American myths talk about these giants.
Remember the black bearded and the red bearded?
Yeah,
ones?
They fought. Fought.
What kid, do you have that in front
I
of you?
I have just a small, it's not even, it's a roll, like a, maybe a sentence.
Okay.
In front of me. It was from, I can just read it to you. In this connection, I would say that Mr. Jonathan Brooks, now living in town, stated to me that his father, Benjamin Brooks, who lived with the Indians 14 years and was well acquainted with their language and traditions, told him and others that it was a tradition of the Indians that the first tribe occupying this whole country was a black-bearded race, very large in size, and subsequently a red-bearded race of a tribe came and killed or drove off all the blackbeards, as they called them. And that's in the Firelands Pioneer from 1858.
Interesting.
Yeah. And there's another Cherokee myth where they... said there was a party of giants came to visit them, and they called them the Slanted Eye People. That they were very big, large, twice their size, they said, and that's from 1806. It was from a grandmother. James Waffer's grandmother said, told him a story about this party of large, slanted-eyed people, they called them. So there's something to it.
And I've read about in Australia.
Oh, okay.
That they have found the bones of giants in caves there.
Yeah.
So?
Why would they hide that from us, though?
I don't know. That's a good question, isn't it?
Well, I did read that they were... It said they were created by the Nephilim. The giants were created by the Nephilim to wipe out Homo sapiens.
Okay.
So, but I don't know how.
And the Nephilim being?
The fallen ones.
Okay, and what are the fallen ones?
The fallen ones.
What
does
that
mean? They were supposedly cast. You know, they say they were cast.
Okay, I know. Okay, right, cast down.
But
where were they cast down from?
That's what you had asked me.
Right.
And I wasn't sure that they were cast out of anywhere. I think they fell.
Fell from where?
From grace. That's all that I can think.
I wonder?
Huh?
The fallen ones.
Mm-hmm.
The Nephilim, the fallen ones.
Yeah.
Is it a possibility that there were very highly evolved spiritual beings that wanted to be, quote, God, creator, or can I create without you, my creator?
Right.
And is it a possibility, and I know this is probably going to sound real weird to some of our listeners, or maybe all of our listeners, but I've wondered, when you think about that what God creates is eternal.
Right.
Okay? The physical world is a shifting. It is, I mean, everything is energy. We understand that. At least I have a concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
And energy does not, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
But the physical world is not eternal. The physical world is, it could be blown to smithereens. You know, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, is it a possibility that this, quote, physical world was created by the thoughts of these very highly evolved spiritual beings? Let's see what we can do.
Right.
And then, and maybe because of their interference in the lives of individuals, that maybe they have become trapped here.
Right. They said that they supposedly had sex with the daughters of men.
Yeah, well, but wait a minute.
Maybe.
I know, but that's saying that's when the physical world had already been created.
Okay, gotcha.
But maybe it's the same, that these beings, you know, played around and let us make man in our image,
uh-huh.
Played around with some genetic engineering with maybe the natural
beings. Maybe they crossed animals with humans.
Possibly.
You know, because there's a lot of myth of the, you know, the horse. What is that? Half man, half horse.
Oh, yeah, the centaur.
Yeah.
Well, also...
what else?
Well, mermaids.
Yeah.
I think I was a mermaid one time.
Oh.
I said that a long time ago. Maybe I was. Who knows? I love the water.
Oh, I love the water, too. So maybe they did a lot of things that they weren't supposed to do.
Well, see, the thing is, if we use the word the fallen ones or the ones cast down,
mm-hmm.
that leaves us very short. Because where were they cast, quote, down from?
Right.
If the kingdom of God is within us, well, I mean, people think of heaven as being, quote, up there someplace.
Right.
When all we're doing is looking up into the sky.
Right.
So where were they cast down from?
Right.
Or is it a possibility that they made a choice to experience in this physical world?
Yes. Wow.
And then got caught in it. Because as we sow, so shall we reap.
They enacted universal justice on themselves.
Yes.
By the choices they made.
Right.
And that was it.
And maybe we are the offspring of... but, you know, this leaves us with another question. And this is what it is tonight. It's a bunch of questions that I'm posing. Because where did all the different colors, the slant eyes, the round eyes.
Three.
The blue eyes, green eyes, brown eyes.
Where did they all come from?
Where did they come from? And, it, you know, this, okay, well, it has, there's nothing that explains it, nothing that has ever explained it, unless there were beings, and very possibly beings from other, maybe dimensions, or other planetary systems,
right,
that were, quote, playing God. And messed with the DNA, creating man in their image. I mean, who is the Lord God Almighty supposed to be talking to when he said, let us create man in our image?
Right. He said our.
Our. So, and remember in the story about Adam and Eve, and the Lord God Almighty said, well, we better get them out of the garden here. They've eaten out of from the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And if they eat from the tree of life, surely they will become as us. Now, that isn't any, like, holy story. That's either, maybe it's symbolic, or maybe, I mean, symbolic with some actual history behind it.
Right.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, honey?
Well, I don't know really exactly what to say about all that, except for if you take the concordance to the Bible and you do the translation,
yeah,
you know, if there seems to be I don't know, almost like a purposeful misleading in some of the things that they say in the Bible. If you take the Greek words and you read them.
Or the Hebrew words.
Or the Hebrew words, and you come up with a different meaning to some of the things that they're saying. So somebody, I don't know. I think that there might be truth in there, but and there might even be a lot of metaphors.
In code, too.
Yeah. But I don't, I think it was messed with on purpose. You know, maybe to, keep you conditioned in that. In that thought?
What? Well, basically, the conditioning is this. I'm just a poor sinner.
Yeah.
The Lord knows that, and he forgives me.
Yeah.
Just keep on doing all the things I know I'm not supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
It's not okay, but it's okay, because the Lord Jesus, he died for my sins and shed his blood.
Yeah.
And then if you read Jesus' words, he said, as you sow, so shall you reap.
Right.
At least words attributed to Jesus.
Right. It's like a contradiction, but then they have the people trained that it's that easy. You know, you do something wrong, and then you're okay, absolved of it.
But in the beginning, we're taught as little children, if we go to Bible school. I know I went to a Baptist Bible school.
Yeah.
Not because we were Baptist, because it was right there in the project where we live, but we were born into sin. I said, okay, what have I done?
You're no good.
What have I done?
You're no good. I know.
6 years old, and I'm laying in bed awake asking, I don't know, you know, what have I done? I can never go to heaven.
Right.
Because I'm a sinner, and I can never be perfect like Jesus. And the words that Jesus spoke were, all of these things I do, you shall do also, and even greater.
Right. We'll put people in a mind bend, you know. It's sad. But you can come out of it, you know. It's not a bad thing.
And when you come out of it, you know what you come into? Actually, you come out of it by a question. And I've been living in the question.
Right.
Forever. And it isn't as though there haven't been some understandings and knowings.
Right.
But I am so wanting to understand the beginning of life on this planet Earth, not this, you know, well, they were cast, the cast down, the fall.
Right, okay, right, just accepting
fine.
That.
If you're going to tell me they're cast down, where the hell were they cast from?
Right.
Cast down from where?
Right. I see exactly what you're saying.
And maybe the fall was our, as a spiritual beings that we are, ever being tempted to taste of the physical world.
Right. Like they said, I forget where I read, that when they fell, that God let them have a third of their power. I thought, that's kind of, sounds a little odd. I can't imagine a God playing that kind of game. If you know what I'm saying, they fell.
Yes, I know.
You know, why would he say, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of power so you can do some more.
And do lots of damage.
Yeah, you do a lot of damage to my creation, so I'm throwing you down, but I'm going to be nice and give you a third.
So my question is, did Creator create the physical world?
I don't know.
That is a question in my mind.
Yeah.
And is it held together by our belief in it, and our belief in it is strong because all of our consciousness is focused in the physical realm.
Yes.
Not and while we exist in every level, we only focus on the physical. So to us, that's all that's real.
Right.
And is it real? Is
that's
it real?
We're taught that it's real. It may not be.
And it doesn't, and I'm not a New Ager, by the way.
Neither
folks.
Am I.
And I'm not sitting here saying it isn't real, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because everything we do matters. Every thought we think, every word we speak.
Absolutely.
And every attitude that we hold.
Right. Action, inaction. Yeah. We're responsible.
And you know, in my thoughts, in my mind, in my heart, you know what's real in this world, Julie?
Go ahead.
Love.
Yes. And remember, I said you read that thing from the Course in Miracles, that you are love.
Yes.
What if you were born and someone told you that you were love, loved into existence? Instead of saying you're a sinner and, you know, you're doomed to hell.
We were loved into existence.
Right. What if you actually took that thought and just got real quiet and thought about that? You are love, loved into existence.
And who am I really?
Right.
When Steve Jacobson was on with us that one time and was talking about people, unfortunately, we were talking about mind control.
Yeah.
I said, well, obviously, we know the federal government isn't going to set up deprogramming stations around the country. So
yeah, we want to help you.
Yeah, what thoughts do you have, to share with our listeners? He said, unfortunately, most people believe that we're merely human beings.
Right.
When in fact we are spiritual beings inhabiting or animating
our
these
body.
Physical bodies.
Yeah.
And he said that the answers lie within in meditation. And when he said that word meditation, I said, our audience, then the greater share of our shortwave audience were mm-hmm. fundamentalist Christian.
Right.
And when he said meditation, it's like, new
What's
age.
Be still and know.
New age.
But what's be still
and
know?
Yeah, I know, but I got a call from a friend, and she says, I just love Steve Jacobson, but he's gone new age on it. and I said, I knew what she meant, because she called right after, and she says, meditation, go within. She said, we don't want to go within. Don't you know how ucky, yucky, yucky, dirty we are? I said, Cal, if we were created by our loving Father, how can we be anything but beautiful and perfect and whole and holy?
Yes, whole.
But
yeah.
See, that was her thought. Don't go looking inside.
Right.
Don't look at yourself, because
yeah.
It's a mess. It's a cesspool. When in fact, it's the physical world that's
the cesspool.
Yes. And to be able to look, you know, they say, it is said, it is said that we have 1 hour on this broadcast and it is over, that we cannot love anybody until we can love ourselves.
Yes.
Maybe we'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
Thank you for being here tonight, darling.
I love you, Jackie.
I love you.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened.